Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name's Nancy, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I am your moderator this morning. Today is Tuesday, April 8th, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 89, the second paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service. The 12 steps is Michelle J., and reading the traditions is Barbara P. Reading the text for us this morning is Rena L. Marge O. will read page 164, our vision for you, and Susan S.H. is our backup. The newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour host is Christine G. Let me give you a couple of reference numbers. The share ID for yesterday's 7 a.m. meeting is 22,321. That's 22321. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, it is 22,322. That's 22322. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement or ideology, or religious doctrine. No position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Michelle J. to please read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle, press star one. Susan F.H., can you read the 12 steps? Can I be heard?
Yes, I can.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, Michelle, go. So, thank you, Susan.
Sorry. Thank you, Susan. I got knocked off. Okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks, Michelle. And thank you, Susan, for popping in there. And now Barbara P. will read the traditions. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, overages our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 89, the second paragraph, and I'll ask Rena L. to please read for us and kick us off this morning. Good morning, Rena.
Good morning, Nancy. This is Rena L., recovered compulsive eater, overeater, anorexic from Toledo, Ohio. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I'm so grateful my sponsor made a non-negotiable that right when, like before we started working together, that I was willing, that right when we got through the reading this, you know, reading this chapter, working the steps, that I would start sponsoring. Didn't matter if I didn't think I was ready, right? That it was time to do it. And I want to note that I don't think, this is just my reading of this section, that sponsorship is the only way to work with newcomers, especially when sometimes the universe doesn't send us a newcomer, no matter how much we put ourselves out there. There's other ways, and so, you know, whether it's talking to a newcomer, doing outreach calls, doing things like speaking at a newcomer meeting, or, you know, there's other ways, too, especially when I've been getting lots of calls and also talking to other people about how lots of people are putting themselves out there right now for sponsorship and there's not been a lot of bites as much lately, which I love to see so many recovered people wanting to be of service, and there's so many other ways we can be of service. And some people want daily contact as a sponsor. Some people want once a week. Some people just take people through the book and then they send the person off to work with other people. Some people want a lifelong relationship, you know, and I share all that because what I don't see in this chapter or in this book, is that there's one right way to do it, right? To me, the only way, wrong way to do this is to not do it. And for me, my minimum working with others is to be in contact with newcomers, be willing and put myself out there for me to take someone through the book, because that's critical for me. And then I'm always taking or seeking to take at least one person at a time through the big book. No matter how full or not full my life is, I don't know, what relationships I have, what achievements I have or don't have, I still can feel lonely in a crowded room in a relationship and useless and even hopeless. And I don't think I'm alone in that, especially on this call. And nothing has filled my life with meaning and purpose and belonging like the experience of working with newcomers, which includes the sponsorship, outreach, other service. I was really afraid I was going to either do this wrong or feel totally overwhelmed. And the only two ways I've had to work through that is, one, to set boundaries. And if my boundaries aren't what someone wants, that's okay. There'll be somebody else that has different boundaries that they can work with, and there'll be someone who wants to work within my boundaries. Not rigid boundaries. You know, rigid rules is not a boundary to me. Boundaries still let space in. You know, it actually makes things bigger, more opportunity, but that my willingness to set boundaries has kept me from feeling overwhelmed. And I've heard, thank you. The last thing I will say, I just want to say, because I heard it on this meeting, and it's the most important thing I've ever heard, I think, with respect to sponsorship. A good sponsor can't get someone who's not ready abstinent, and a bad sponsor can't get someone who's not ready, right? Can't get someone ready, can't kill their abstinence. And so I just wanted to share that because it allowed me to go forward. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Rena L., for getting us started here today. And so now we're ready to take a list of names of people who want to share on this topic. And let me remind you that there are a lot of people on this line. So if you have shared in the last 2 days, that would be Friday or Monday, please step back and let others have an opportunity to share. And who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Loretta H.
Peter L.
I heard Gail. Russ and Katie G.
Amy
L.
H. Loretta H.
Loretta.
Benita L.
Amy M.
Benita. Amy M.
Did you hit Tony B?
I did now.
Thank you. Gail H. from Seattle.
Gail H.
Anne Marie.
All right. Anne-Marie M. All right, let me tell you who I have. I have Russ, Katie G, Loretta, Tina, Benita, Amy MC, Tony from the UK, Gail H, and Anne-Marie M. Did I miss anybody who said their name already?
It was Anita L, not Benita.
Anita.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's go with this lineup, and then we'll be able to take another list of names. So we're going to start off with Russ, followed by KDG. And if you're not Russ, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Russ, you have the floor.
All right, thanks, Nance. Appreciate doing a great job. Good morning, everybody. Russ, I'm recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. I'm going to steal a line from Father Joseph Martin. He's an old AA guy. And, you know, when we come into this chapter, how many times do we, any of us, and even ourselves, like, man, I ain't ready to do this. But, you know, Father Martin, I listened to him, and he said, if it only took 5 steps, it would only be a 5-step program. Something to that effect. 12 steps. We have to work the 12 steps. We got to be, you know, afraid not to work the 12 step. You've heard that a million times. And that fellowship that, you know, grows up around us. I know one thing. If I didn't work this 12 step and I didn't have my fellows around me, I have more problems than I do now. I'm really, honestly. You show me God, You take my 10 steps, I take yours, we reinforce the program, we start living what's in this book. It becomes second nature to us. And it saved my life. It saved my life. And I was very, very fearful to help people get through the steps initially. And now I realized, I couldn't do it without doing that. And it's just, it's made me a better man. It brought me closer to God. So, you know, we got to do it. You understand what I'm saying. This is what hit me when I heard this. So thanks for letting me share. Y'all have a good day. Love you.
Thank you, Russ M. from Pennsylvania. And next up, we have Katie G. from Boston. Katie, you'll be followed by Loretta. Or
hey, Nancy.
Loretta will follow you.
Sorry about that. Good morning. Thanks for taking the meeting, Katie G. Recovered in Boston. You know, I joined the rooms of 12-step recovery, specifically Overeaters Anonymous, almost 20 years ago. And I was a lone wolf, and I was an unwelcome hanger-on. You know, I didn't have friends. I didn't know how to be in relationship with people. Say nothing of be sponsoring others. I was a porcupine with prickles all over me. You know, and today, thanks be to God, my darkest past has become my greatest asset. And I just love that not only have I been able and continue on a daily basis to pass on this message, right, that I can stay abstinent and do so happily. I can have a relationship with God that fills me up, and I get that relationship and continue that relationship because of my relationship with God. And I love sponsorship. And I want to add that frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives, right? Like, I get to be seen in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I can't get kicked out. You know that if you know me, because I've done all sorts of crazy things in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I've yet to be kicked out. I get welcomed onto a meeting. I get to make phone calls with all of you and be held spiritually accountable. You know, people call me and they'll say, how's your program? I literally don't understand what people are saying to me because God rebuilt my life with program as the center. I don't round my life with a little bit of OA every day. My life is founded on this 12-step program. And it's amazing that there's a fellowship that's around me, that I am in the center of the herd. Join us. You can be in the center of the herd too. There are so many people on that phone contact list. And thanks be to God, there are people here right now that have received snot-nosed, messy, crying calls from me and helped me get back to God, right? Because it's a God-centered program. I'm not saying that, you know, human beings have become God for me, but man, has God shown up through people. I started to believe in God because of what I understood as the synchronicities, that I would call you and you would happen to be going through a medical issue as well, or your husband, or your child. And you all really are the bright spot of my life. Why? Because you keep my hand in God's one day at a time. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful to be able to share, and I'm grateful to be able to listen to. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Loretta M., and she'll be followed by Tina F. And if you tell me where you're calling from, that will be great.
Good morning, Nancy. It's Loretta H. from North Carolina. I want to thank you and all on this meeting, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Fifth tradition, my primary purpose is to carry the message to a suffering alcoholic or suffering compulsive overeater. I am recovered today because of that tradition and because of the work with others. And before we even get to this chapter, I do a study when my proteges go through it again. And somebody at one of my groups said that there's 125 times before we even get to working with others that it is stated in this book. And in the foreword, it says, he also indicated that strenuous work with one alcoholic with another was vital to permanent recovery. And then even in the doctor's opinion, and this is where is me, later he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here with some misgiving. And that's when, you know, we feel as though we're not doing it right. But the cases we have followed through have been interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motives, their community spirit, indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in the alcoholic field. And that was Dr. Silkworth. So they believe in themselves and still more in the power which chronic alcoholics bring back from the gates of hell. And that's what you do for me. I've been in program at 24 plus years. And the only reason I'm still here, I believe, is because I do guide people through the steps. And I use this book as my textbook. And then also I tell them even before that my primary purpose is to help the suffering alcoholic, but also to find a power greater than myself, because myself, I am nothing. And so whether it's the sponsor at first, a horse, or whatever, just something, oops, something bigger than you. So I pass, and you have saved my life, and I am so grateful to have this privilege, whether it's speaking on a meeting or doing the work. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And next up, we have Tina S. from Florida, followed by Anita L. Tina, please share with us.
Thanks so much for your service, Nancy. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, what a great paragraph, some great shares. You know, in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about in the 12th step that the theme of the 12th step is the joy of living, you know, and it talks here in the first sentence, life will take on a new meaning, you know. And, you know, one of the gifts that I have gotten, you know, is to have my own loneliness vanish and to have a fellowship grow up about me. And without that, which has already been said, you know, I would not be here. You know, because on my own, I'm screwed. I have people in my life who can hold me accountable. And you know, and I have sponsees today that, you know, I've just taken someone through the steps and she is like on fire. So it helps me to be on fire again. You know, she's been around for a long time. And this is the only time that now she's really, you know, living this life, you know, being free and enjoying it. Being able to help somebody else. And, you know, I love what it talks about sponsorship and that, you know, we can help others in many, many forms, and it doesn't have to be sponsorship, but I am blessed to have that. And, you know, and I ask God daily to show me who I can help and, you know, put people in my path so that I can continue to be free. You know, that's why I keep coming back, because if I'm not, I wouldn't be here. You know, and what I have to do is to work the 12 steps. I become transformed. I am a different person today because of this. And I have friends, like other people have said, you know, I wasn't able to have friends. I didn't know how to be a friend. And today I can, you know, and frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And I continue to have that on a daily basis. So grateful, so grateful, and really looking forward to hearing some more shares. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina S. from Florida. And next up, we have Anita L., followed by Amy M.C. Anita, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you, Nancy. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm really grateful to speak on the meeting today where it says life will take on new meaning. That just, you know, hit my core this morning. I meditate with another woman on this line, and we do a two-way writing after we pray, and I just thank my higher power for the way my life has changed now that I live in recovery and have walked across the bridge from, you know, disease into recovery. And life has taken on a new meaning. And my purpose now in life is to be of maximum service to others. I can see that all my relapses over the years were due to my selfishness, my self-centeredness. Isn't that what it says in the book, is the root of our evil? And, oh my goodness, you know, even when I was sponsoring at times and life just became too difficult over recovery, and that included my sponsees. And I just said to myself, I just want the food more. And that just showed my selfishness. And today, even when life gets hard, because I have total love and trust and faith in my higher power, God is everything to me today. That's the difference. I've had an attitude shift. I don't know why this past year it's been this way and it wasn't before. I always, you know, was close to God, but I didn't develop that relationship. So that, you know what, that's why life has taken on new meaning. And in 1984, I just wanted to speak about this, because it says to watch loneliness vanish. In 1984, something happened in my life, and I felt very alone. And God came and carried me through that time. I knew it had to have been my higher power. And so from that moment on, since 1984, I have never felt alone. At times I may feel lonely, however, God is always there. And I'm grateful that today my love for my higher power has increased and become, you know, the forefront of my mind, my heart, my soul. And because of that, I have a new way of life and totally carry the message, thank you, to others by sponsoring. So thank you. I love sponsoring. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you. That was Anita L. from Pennsylvania. Next up is Amy M.C. Amy, tell us where you're calling from, and you'll be followed by Tony.
Good morning. This is Amy M.C. from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Wow, it's so amazing the way God works, right? Every time it's like, oh, God, this meeting is for me. Thank you. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of taking an outreach call of a fellow who is at this point, and we were just talking about, yes, this is scary. It's scary to sponsor, but guess what? We're just the guide. God is using us to be of maximum service to others, because this program is freely given, and I want to give back to what was freely given to me. And so that means working with others, and that means for me sharing experience, strength, and hope, and being able to say to sponsees or fellows, yes, I've been there, I remember, and oh yes, that fear, doubt, and insecurity still comes up for me. And what I've experienced when I pray about it, when I talk to fellows about it, when I work with God through the fear, doubt, and insecurity, I get to see, you know, twofold, threefold, how the blessings come back to me. I mean, I think of all of the slogans about service. Service is slimming, service centers. And I have to tell you, it's true. Every time I give service, whether it's working with a newcomer, taking someone through the steps, taking an outreach call, exchanging 10 steps, exchanging my nightly review. I mean, this is where it's at, folks. This is where it's at. When I get out of myself, I don't want the box or the bag. I don't want the binge. I don't want the food. I want to serve others. I want to give back to what my sponsors gave me. I want to help that newcomer. I want to share my experience, strength, and hope. I want to take someone through the book. And yeah, it's messy sometimes. Schedules don't line up. People fall by the wayside. People aren't ready. I love on them anyway. I put my name out there anyway as much as possible. I am available as a sponsor. I do. I've been putting my name out there, and as someone else shared, nobody's taken the bait. You know, that's okay. I find other ways to be of service. I continue to pray about it. I continue to put my name out there. It's the directions in the book. It's what God wants us to do. It's what feels good. I can't keep what I have if I'm not giving it away. And so what that looks
like
today.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you for that. Is continuing to put my name out there. So with that, I pass Amy MC in Massachusetts. I'm on the list. Reach out. And thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you, Amy MC from Massachusetts. And next up, we're going to have Tony B from the UK. And Tony, before you say, let me just, for people who might have gotten on late, just let you know what we're reading today. We're on page 89 in the big book, that second paragraph. And Tony, you'll be followed by Gail H. Tony, please share with us.
Thanks, Nancy. My name's Tony B, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. Recovered thanks to God's grace and mercy, thanks to these 12 steps, and thanks to all of you, the fellowship. And I love you all so much. It's really a change of life to step into a fellowship of people who get it, who understand. And it does take on new meaning to work with others, to see them get well, to see them begin to pass the message on to yet other people. It is the bright spot of my life, for sure. And the steps ensure that I continue to be in contact with people. Once I've done a 10th step, I turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And very often that is an outreach call to say, how are you, to somebody else. It develops that those connections, and it's so wonderful. I felt on the outsides of this program for 12 years that I was in it, because I sort of scoffed at it somewhat, or I thought I was a bit better, and I don't know, or I thought I wasn't good enough. I don't know what it was, but I was on the outskirts for sure. And you know, it wasn't until the penny dropped and I knew I had to put the food down, you know, work the steps with a sponsor who knew what they were doing, and then sponsor. That was the big bit, and then sponsor myself. You know, I'd never got that before. I'd worked the steps through and then drifted off, and worked the steps through and then drifted off. And this made all the difference this time round, and it's made me feel a part of. And I think that God intends us to feel a part of. And, you know, we've been through a lot. We've suffered in our addiction. And he gives us purpose. He wants us to have purpose. He knew that I was purposeless and didn't know what I should be doing, really. I didn't know what life was about. And he's given me a purpose. And, you know, he wants me to have a fellowship around me as well. This unity, this togetherness. I think God wants us to gather and share and love one another and feel a sense of belonging and do his work. You know, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And just day by day, doing what's right in front of me, little spoonfuls of action to counter my disease. And what joy I find in it, you know, it's just a beautiful way of life. So I encourage anybody who's new.
Gentle reminder.
Thanks. I'll leave it there, Nancy. Love you all so much.
Thank you, Tony B. from the UK. Next up is Gail H., followed by Anne Marie M. And Gail, if you could tell us where you're calling from, that would be great.
Good morning. I'm Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. And thank you very much for your service work, your shares, it has been sustaining since I learned about A Vision for You. I was given the blessing of coming into this program in 1968, and in working with my sponsor at that time, which was very unsophisticated, and Bill was still alive then, and I met the first woman in Alcoholics Anonymous, Marty Mann. I was at a meeting with her, and, you know, and so that was my beginnings. And it is now, you know, 56 years later. And it took those 18 years of being in this program and going to daily meetings to get this amazing gift of abstinence from bulimia, and amazing. But I've been quite ill in the past year, and actually much longer than that. I just had a blind spot to it, and now I'm underweight after being obese and 100 pounds overweight, starting to being underweight and very ill. So I've always, you know, God just said, surrounded me with this program. So I have all these women that I have sponsored for over 20 years. And, you know, we keep growing and changing. And I think back to my very first sponsor in those very early days. And we would go to daily meetings. I got sober and abstinent beginnings in Chicago and at a meeting in Des Plaines, Illinois. And, you know, we would be at meetings and then we'd meet once a week as we did then. And our discussion would be so she would sit down and say, okay, Gail, how has God worked in your life? And that would be the discussion. And, you know, it can't be any better than that now. But there's a wisdom. I'm barely able to walk. I'm very limited. And I still have all these people I sponsor. And interestingly enough, what they want from me is to help me. Not me to help them. But the gift is...
gentle reminder.
Thank you. That I accept their help. That's my giving now. I mean... so different. And I'm not very graceful, I have to tell you. I have a lot of learning. As Bill says, I'm in spiritual kindergarten here. And yet it's the next right step. And thank you, honey, for reminding me. And thank you all for being willing to listen as I go over a bit.
Thank you, Gail H. from Washington. And now we're here from Anne-Marie M., and then we'll take another list of names. Anne-Marie, please tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. Thank you, Nancy, for the service this morning and all the service that you do. I am miraculously recovering from compulsive eating and compulsive overeating and just so grateful. As at this point right now, I am not sponsoring. However, I'll tell you that it has been a joy to watch people, to watch loneliness vanish, just to watch someone blossom into, you know, almost like a dead flower into a beautiful, you know, beautiful rose. And even though I am not currently sponsoring, I'll tell you, you know, I appreciate the first person's share about not having to be in a recovered state to be able to help other people. Maybe not take them through the steps. However, I call newcomers, and I have taken phone calls from people who are having a difficult time, and I listen. And it's such a joy. It gives me, it's just so hard to explain. And I, too, would not have been able to stay abstinent without helping other people. I also have to stay connected to God, and that was my downfall. Thinking pride and self-reliance was my downfall to getting back into compulsive eating. And so I'm just grateful today. What was the other thing that I was going to say? Oh, yes. So I am going through the steps again, and currently my sponsor is unavailable right now to go over some of the assignments that she gave me, and I've been working on the assignments, and she gave me a few names to call, and I called many, many others, and I've heard from just about everyone, and people are willing to just take time with me to review where I'm at. And I'm so, so, so very grateful for that. It takes a village. And I'm just grateful for the people that are in my life, the other people that are trudging this road of happy destiny with me. So thank you so much. And I will pass it. I mean, this step I can't work this program without this step. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne Marie from South Carolina. And we have time for probably three, maybe four shares. Who would like to take those spots?
Leah.
Joanna L.
And I heard Leah.
Eve Nika.
Donna M.
Blair.
David
Anna,
M.
And one more. David M. All right. Sorry if I missed somebody. But I've got Leah, Claire E., Donna, and David. Leah, please share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., Brooklyn, New York, recovered and grateful. Life will take on a new meaning. I didn't come into this program so that my life can change. God Almighty, every day brings new challenges. With so many things and so many different trials and testings and my patience and all that. And once I started to adhere to those steps, I got humility and I got crushed ego. Not everything. And as I grew in the program, I started to make phone calls to people, and wow, I learned so much from other people, and it gave me so much, and it still continues to give me so much. I keep on growing, and where food was everything about my life, today everything about my life is getting along with people and getting this message out to others. Life is so much more than just this food that I was stuffing my face with. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to this program. I'm so grateful to Vision. And most of all, I'm grateful to God. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Next up, we have Claire E. from the UK. Good morning, Claire.
Morning, Nancy. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everybody doing service on the line. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic from the UK. It always makes me smile, the sentence, frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I was in a face-to-face meeting many years ago, and I remember someone sharing this with this massive grin on her face and saying how amazing it was. And just thinking to myself, really? Oh, my God, you know? It's like, because frankly, contact with anybody else was really bristly for me. I used to dread having to make phone calls. You know, what would I talk to people about? And sponsoring people was just, you know, I used to dread it. I knew I had to do it, but I used to really dread it. And, you know, I couldn't understand really how that could be a bright spot. It was more just like a sort of a necessity. It's a bit like a food plan, I suppose, really. It was a necessity of being well. And I didn't have any enthusiasm about it at all. And, you know, I'm very happy to say that that really is completely different now. And looking back at the beginning of the paragraph to the sort of promises, really, of step 12 is you know, watching people recover, seeing them helping others, watching loneliness just, you know, vanish. I mean, I had a call this morning. Someone else was talking about snot-nosed phone calls. You know, I've done that with people, and people have done that with me, and it is still deeply touching to me when somebody has the honesty to be authentic with me. I find it just, it really touches my soul when people are like that with me, and so therefore it helps me to be able to be authentic with other people too. And watching people recover, you know, I've been around a while, watching people change. There's all sorts of people who I would definitely consider in my God squad, who I used to sponsor, who used to sponsor me. We don't have that relationship anymore, but I watch them. I watch them grow. And like somebody else has said, it's nothing to do with my sponsorship or lack of or whatever. It's because this works, and I can see it working in other people, and that really reassures me that this does work and I'm on the right track. I'm not lonely anymore. I have a host of, you know, and I'm constantly on my gratitude list, actually. I have, in fact, many people who've even been on this meeting, you know I could call and be myself with and get honest feedback. You know, that makes me feel not lonely at all. I have a place to come, and I've seen a fellowship grow up about me. You know, I have, especially in the days of Zoom, you know, I have access to this amazing resource and host of friends that normal people don't have. And, you know, it is the bright spot of my life now. It really is. I put this, it's right in the center of my life. And that's not to say other areas of my life isn't bright and isn't enjoyable and isn't important to me. But I just know that this fellowship, this program, my higher power is absolutely fundamental to me, and is the bright spot of my life, and without a shadow of doubt. And as I said, once upon a time, I would have winced to hear myself say that. So stick with it, and it's really good to be on the line, and lots of love to everybody. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire E. She's from the UK. And next up, we have Donna M. from Canada, I believe. But Donna, if you can confirm that, you're up next, followed by David.
I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And next month, almost 5 years ago, a group of us in Ontario, Canada, started a Big Book Zoom newcomers, returning members, speaker meeting. And the impetus for that was that, you know, we had newcomers meeting, and during the pandemic, there were all these newcomers who were unable to find sponsors. And we knew that with the Big Book instructions, the requirement being to work with others, that we would be able to provide those newcomers with sponsors. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity during those past years, the past years that I've been able to work with not just newcomers, but those like myself who struggled for years in an unrecovered state in the rooms of OA, and to take them through the instructions in the Big Book and finally see them recover. And it is such a joy today to see those individuals working with others. It is the bright spot of my day, and I'm so grateful to be on this journey after struggling for close to 30 years in our unrecovered state. So thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna. I'm from Canada. Next up is David, and I didn't do math very well, so we will be able to take one or two more names after David. David, please give us the initial of your last name, where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Hi, David M. Florida. Glad to be here. I'm not sponsoring yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. I just get a taste of that when I be of service, and I didn't believe in the program. When I first came in, I was just like, it took me a while to really like, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. But then I started working it, a little bit here and there. I'm kind of getting it, and that would do 10 steps, and then, you know, I'd kind of slack off. Wouldn't be like a I wouldn't be like a, you know, a service to somebody. And then I was like, oh, these 10 steps, the programs are working. It's not until I started incorporating, you know, okay, look, I gotta do the program as it's supposed to be. And it's when you tie it in and when you do an active service, that's when it really kicks in. That's when it's like, wow, okay, I feel a lot better. And it's like, okay, it gets me pumped up. I want to do more service to people, and it helps me get through it. And it's that key there, is being of service and getting out of yourself. And so when I tie into those 10 steps into those active services, it strengthens me to move on and go through it. So I just want to share that in my past.
Hey, thanks, David. That's David M. from Florida. And we do have time for two more shares. Who would like to take that space?
Christina L.
Christina L.
Yvette L.
And one more. Yvette L. All right, Christina, you've got it, followed by Yvette.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I hope I don't have a lot of background noise because the roofers just started on my roof. But I'm Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And, you know, that first sentence, I just walked away from my book. I'm sorry. It is the bright spot of our lives. Before I came back to OA last summer after my relapse, the only way that I wanted to be of service and for life to take on new meaning was according to my way. And, you know, I wanted to be of service in the way that I wanted to be of service, not necessarily in OA. And, you know, that was something that I had to really make a decision when I came back last summer that I really needed to change. And I remember hearing someone ask me or share on one of the meetings, I don't know which one it was, but something about change me into the recovered woman that you created me to be or something like that. And, you know, I have sponsored in the past before I relapsed, and it was a bright spot in my life. And I did, for the most part, enjoy it. And for the times that I didn't, that's what the 10 steps are for. And I know I've heard a lot of people talking about how it is scary, and yes, it is scary, because I remember when I first recovered over 6 years ago, my sponsor reached out to me. We hadn't even started reading the chapter, working with others, but people were coming to her to ask her to sponsor, but I was in her sponsor spot. And so she asked me if I was ready, and I said, no, but I know I have to. And, you know, just remember turning my thoughts like, okay, God, I know you're gonna help me. And he did, and or she or it or whatever it is. But just really grateful for where I'm at. I'm also an available sponsor, and I have heard that a lot of people are having trouble finding sponsees. So, you know, thy will be done, not mine. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Christina L. from Florida. And our last share today is going to be Yvette L. from Connecticut. Yvette, please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Yvette L., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. My life taking on new meaning, what my life was going to be like, guided by this power that I don't even understand, working with others is the bright spot of my life, and I know it's one of the reasons I'm on this planet is to help others with this beast of a disease that we have. But to see folks that were scared to sponsor, and I usually ask, well, have you had a spiritual awakening? And I had one sponsee in particular, and she's like, oh, yeah, of course. I'm like, okay, then. And, you know, the fear that, you know, that I had when I started to sponsor, as if I was responsible for anybody's recovery. They're either ready or they're not, and that's got nothing to do with me. So I'm just so grateful that, you know, after my first meeting back in 1992, that I just kept coming back all these years. So thanks for letting me share. Bye now.
Well, Thanks, Yvette. Appreciate it. Anybody want 1 minute share? We got one more minute on the clock if somebody has a burning desire to say hello.
Carrie E.
All right, Carrie, you have 1 minute. Please share with us.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'm Carrie E. from New Jersey, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I've been listening for over a year and just feel, you know, compelled to share. I'm surprised how many people said they couldn't find sponsees. I had a little trouble finding a sponsor in the beginning, but you all are sponsoring me, you know, every day over the, you know, year plus that I've been listening. And, you know, I know your voices before you introduce yourself. You've become, you know, my family, even though you don't know about me, and you all mean so much to me and help me. And I really just wanted to share that and thank you. You're definitely passing the message. And I'm sure there are others who are listening. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie E. from New Jersey. Great way to take us out. And thank you to everyone who shared today. Thank you to Team Tuesday. Great job. And please, everyone, join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing of this hour. The share ID for this meeting that just concluded today, Tuesday, April 8th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,324. That's 22324. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Marjo please read for us a vision for you?
Good morning. Marjo, recovered in Walpole, Massachusetts, and sincerely grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.